Pastor. And can I just say thank you to the worship team? Thank you to the worship team. Because I go to a lot of churches. This was no performance. This was worship. You guys worshiped. Thank you so much because it was wonderful. I'm already sweating. I don't know what's going to happen when I preach. But this was wonderful. We are in the presence of God. We are in the presence of God. God wants to do something great and something mighty. And he can't do it unless we are in his presence and unless we allow the Holy Spirit to move. His Holy Spirit is here. That's the answer right there. It is not for us to do anything but just be obedient to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And I believe this morning he wants to do great and mighty things. I actually believe that today is the beginning of something, and I'm not sure what it is. But today is the beginning of something. So let's pray. Father God, I praise you and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for a church that doesn't follow a program. I thank you for a pastor that's sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I thank you for those, Lord God, that are hungry to worship you, Lord God, to praise you, Father God, not for anything that you have done or what you're going to do, but just because of who you are. Lord, I praise you and I thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning, Father God. Help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Have your way. Let your Holy Spirit move in and through us, Lord God, that you would be glorified. Father, we don't want goosebumps. We want a change. We don't want goosebumps, Lord God. We want a change. Father, it says transformation. That's what we want. We don't want goosebumps. We want a transformation. And I just realized that's what it says in this church. Transformation is here. Father, that's what we want this morning. Lord, so that you would be glorified and honored in our lives, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know something? When we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, when transformation takes place, we think we're only here to glorify him, but when we allow, listen to that, when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, we live a more victorious life. Amen. We walk and talk and live with joy because the Holy Spirit is allowed to do what he wants to do in our lives. Oh, praise God, praise God. We are going to open up to Joshua chapter 5. There's actually a couple of scriptures that we're going to go through. But Joshua chapter 5, and then we'll go back to it later. But that's what we're going to start with. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Joshua chapter 5, and it's verse 6. And I want you to follow me. Just follow me as we go along. Hold on. Don't just say, look at one verse and say, oh no. No. Hold on. Verse 6. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. Listen to this. 40 years. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished. Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. This is pretty powerful here. The Lord led him out of Egypt. Everyone, even the men of war, perished. Would the Lord lead us out to perish? Would the Lord lead us into to perish? But they did. Because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Now let's follow here. The miles, the distance between Egypt and the promised land where the Lord promised them, listen to this, 5,270.8 miles. Should that, even if you're on foot, should that have taken 40 years?
No.
Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's go over to it. Deuteronomy chapter 1. First verse. These are the words that Moses spoke to all of Israel. Verse 2. It is 11 days' journey. 11 days. Moses said it is an 11-day journey. 11 days. That's less than 2 weeks. But it took 40 years. They could have been in the promised land in less than 2 weeks. But it took 40 years because they disobeyed the voice of the Lord. Don't worry about that baby. Doesn't bother me. And it shouldn't bother you either. They're in the presence of God. She did what was right, but she better come back in. Okay, now, one more scripture verse. Exodus chapter 13. Praise God. Praise God. Exodus chapter 13. Starting with the 17th verse. When Pharaoh let the people go, wait, I still hear pages and I love that sound. I don't hear that too often in church. You can turn, I'll wait. It's Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, listen to this. God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see the war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. You get this? And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Couple things we need to see here. One, God has a plan. God planned to lead them out of bondage in Egypt to the land of milk and honey, to the promised land. God had a plan. His plan was that they would come out of bondage into a blessing. In man's eye, according to Moses, it was supposed to take 11 days. But there was a reason that God, not man, not the devil, God led them 40 years. He led them another direction. Instead of just going straight there. Number one, God has a plan. His plan was to take them from point A to point B. His plan is not our plan. They could have done it in the natural eye in 11 days, but God knew that they may have come up against the Philistines who didn't like the Israelites, and there was war. And that there would be those Israelites that weren't able to handle it, and they would get weary and scared and go right back to Egypt in bondage again. God had a bigger plan than what the natural eye sees. Number two, he already knows our makeup. He already knows if we're a fighter or if we're a quitter. He knows our weaknesses, and that's why he protected the Israelites. He protected them by bringing them another route instead of going right into the promised land. Number three, he could have sent them a quicker route, but he knew that the Philistines were hostile and did not get along with Israel. So God, in all actuality, protected his people. What looked like a longer distance, there was protection there. Number four, who led them to the Red Sea? God. We are always saying it's the devil. We are always saying it's the enemy. God said it right there. God led them to the Red Sea. Really? And number five, he didn't only lead them to the Red Sea, but he equipped them for battle. Let's read that again, Exodus 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see the war and they return back to Egypt. But God led the people around by way of the wilderness through the Red Sea. And the people, oh, this is amazing. He led them to the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, what? Equipped for battle. So, here we are. How does this apply to us? This is amazing. This is really, really good. Number one, God has a plan. You may think I did what God told me to do and it's no good. And you could say this reason, that reason, or another reason. It doesn't matter what reason. If God told you to go from there to there, I don't care what you have to go through from there to there, just go through it. Because God already equipped you to go through it. So maybe you're in a place in your life where things aren't going the way you think they should. You need to question yourself to have a pure heart before the Lord. The very first thing is questioning our hearts. God, is there sin? Is there some disobedience? And then we need to repent. And we need to bring it before God. You can't ask God to heal your body if you're putting poison in it. Right? If you're going to live an immoral life, you can't ask God to heal you of AIDS or of any kind of STDs. If you're going to continue living an immoral life. You got the picture? And this has become real to me just since last Sunday. Because I had a problem physically since the week before Christmas and I wasn't sure what it was. I went to urgent care. My insurance didn't take the urgent care. I went to another doctor. The doctor looked at me and said, we have to check your liver. How could you check my liver? You, first of all, you don't know me. Second of all, you didn't even touch my body. In 5 minutes, you looked at me, you folded your arms, and you said, we need to check your lip. What are you, crazy? So I call my doctor back, and my doctor was on vacation. Then they call me back when they come back, and they can't take me in until February. February? I've got this issue since the week before Christmas. So I did what nobody's supposed to do. I went on Google. You don't do that because they'll have you in the cemetery in 3 months. But I'm not that dumb. I do know what's right and wrong. You're not going to put fear in me because I know my God. He's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. He's a light in the darkness. My God, I know who he is. So you're not going to put fear in me. So I just put a lot of things together, and it came out to something that I kind of only knew anyway. Get rid of sugar. Stop eating sugar. So I started last Sunday, and I would say from then until now, about 80% I've taken the sugar out of my body. It started Monday morning. By early evening, I started noticing, I was thinking clearer, and I started noticing I felt better. By Wednesday, I'm noticing my knees don't feel like they did on Sunday. I can walk up the steps, as long as I'm holding on, I can walk up the steps without going, and I really do that. Sometimes I got to the top and I would cry, God, I can't take this pain anymore. Well, now, here we are, it's a week, well, not even a week, tomorrow will be 1 week, and the pain is almost completely gone. And the problem that I was having since the week before Christmas was gone after the first day. So I realize I am asking God to heal something when I'm putting the poison in my body. And here's the deal. You go to other people. Don't we love that? Let's go to other people to confirm something when we know what the truth is. So we go to other people. I could have went to 15 doctors and they would have put me on 15 different medications. Never took care of the problem, just another medication. And then I'm going back to another doctor for a side effect of one of the medications. Then I'm going to another doctor to go to take care of that side effect from that medication. And they're going to put me on another medication to counteract that medication. And before you know it, I've got 20 bottles sitting on my counter. When all I had to do was stop destroying the temple. I didn't get rid of it completely. I was out last night with my cousin and we went to an Italian restaurant and she wanted dessert. I said, okay, we'll split it in half. Normally I would have said, okay, let's get it. You get yours, I'll get mine. I split it in half. That was a big deal for me, but I did it. When they brought the Italian bread and the olive oil with the cheese and the salt and pepper, am I making you hungry? But they did all this. It was good. I looked in the basket, there was a lot of bread there. I didn't do the lot of bread. I did maybe 2 pieces, and I broke them in little pieces, so it lasted me. Normally, I would have finished the basket and said, can we have more bread, please? And I'm not kidding. So my point is, we can go to anybody else to confirm our decisions. We can go to everybody else for their opinions. But the word of God is the word of God. If God said to go from there to there, I can't think of another example, so excuse me. If God said to go from there to there, and you counteract and so many difficulties from there to there, did God tell you to go from there to there? Then just go. And in the middle of it, you're in the middle of a Red Sea. You're in the middle of an impossible situation. Well, did it say here, God led them to the Red Sea? God led them to. You lead me out of bondage. You lead me out of a bad situation. And then I do what you tell me to do, and you lead me to a dead end? Is that the kind of God that we serve? No, first of all, God protected them because he could have made them go an 11-day journey, but they could have been annihilated because they may have wound up facing the Philistines. We don't know the whole story, but God protected them. When you're facing the Red Sea, you're not looking at the fact that God has been protecting me all along. So you may be in a situation in your life where things aren't going exactly the way you expected them to. Number one, the first thing is Let's fall before the Lord. Come at the foot of the cross and check our hearts out. Lord, is there something I'm doing? Is there something within me? Is there something that you're trying to teach me? Is there something you're trying to tell me? Yeah, Jeannie De Benedetto, get rid of the sugar. And it might be something that's difficult. That happens to be difficult. But I'm going to do it. Is there something? But if we don't, what'd they say in Joshua? 40 days, why? They never even went to the promised land. Why? They didn't listen. They didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. So in the trials, in the time that we're going through, the Lord will lead, the Lord will guide, the Lord will direct. If the Lord is not speaking something to you, about you, or for you, or a direction, then keep on going. Now, another thing here is, I want to say another thing. I was in pastor's office getting my head wrapped around this and praying, and I saw, I think it may have been a brick, I don't know. It said Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19 on it. So I decided to open it up and see what that was. Now, see what I'm preaching here this morning? I opened up, and this is what it said. You and your... He blows my mind. You and your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. Only God knew what I was preaching here this morning. I just saw a scripture and I said, I'm going to see what that says. Can't see. It's blurry. You in your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud to lead them in the way did not depart from them by day, nor did the pillar of fire by night to light for them in the way by which they should go. I see scriptures in pastors' offices all the time. I've never seen that scripture. And when I opened that up before in his office, it was a 100% confirmation of this message here. A 100% confirmation. The Lord did not leave them in the way they should go. No matter what it looked like to them, the Lord didn't leave them. And from day one, we read it, he equipped them for battle. He wasn't going to lead them taking 40 years, taking 10 years, 2 years, a month, 50 years. No matter what, if the Lord is leading, he's going to take care of things. Excuse me. Jesus. Okay, so how do we apply all this to our life? One, God has a plan. Not your plan or my plan. God has a plan. Number two, he knows who we are better than we know ourselves. How many times has the Lord asked you to do something you thought, I can't do this, God. I don't want to do this. I can't do it. How many times has that happened? I know it's happened to me. Because God knows you and I better than we know ourselves. And what does that mean? He may want to teach us a lesson in the wilderness. He may want to teach us a lesson while we're in that wilderness. He may be working on you and I as we go through the wilderness. He may may be working on us as we're going through it. He may be protecting you from something worse. He protected the Israelites from the Philistines. He may be protecting you, and it might look like your situation, it's terrible, I can't take it anymore, I'm done, I hate this. Or God, I may feel like you left me. No, he's protecting you from something worse. We don't have to see it, but God knows it. Number three, God knows what's up ahead. He wants you and I to learn to what? Trust him. To trust him. If he says to do something and it seems impossible, but you're going by faith, and you start going, and it's just too difficult, and you start getting weary, that is why God put in his word, do not be weary in well-doing. We become weary when we stop trusting him. Who are we trusting in? The Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will empower us to make it. It's the Holy Spirit that will empower us to make it. And number four, he will never leave us without being equipped for battle. He will never leave us without being equipped for battle. And now, I saw this little post-it note and I said to myself, you forgot to mention this, but how God is amazing, because here's a perfect plug and a perfect time. Being equipped for battle. There's two things coming up in this church, and they're both in March. I will be back here with my team on a Friday night, March 20th, and we are going to be doing something for both men and women, and it's called Deeper Still. Mark your calendar, March 20th. We are going to do something everybody loves to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. And you might think that's crazy. We're going to make it's going to look a little bit different in here, and you'll know why. And there will be no time limit. So if you think you can't stay, if you're already looking at your movies or whatever it is that you have to do, I don't know what to tell you. But this is how we get equipped. We may be here an hour. We may be here until Saturday. And I want to praise God for a pastor that you have that was kind of excited when we talked about this on the phone. Because the first thing I would normally hear is people won't come. Well, I don't care. If one comes, Jesus had 12 disciples, right? And one was a deceiver. And we still have a church because of them. And to be perfectly honest with you, the one that really made the impact was Paul. If Jesus didn't have Paul, we wouldn't even have a church today, because Paul, you talk about Mission Sunday, Paul was determined. His mission was to spread the truth. Bring that gospel out there, no matter, even if I'm prison, I'm going to write it down. Here, Timothy, take it. Take it here. Tell them about Jesus. Don't get weary in well-doing. So one shows up, you are going to be equipped as a soldier. If only one shows up, I'm going to find out where you live. I'm Sicilian. And I have a number of wooden spoons on my counter. So that's March 20th. And then this Saturday, March 28th, we had this here a number of years ago in the beginning of the ministry. We're going to have a deeper conference. And I'm sorry, men, but that one's just for women. Now, March 28th, women, deeper conference. Now, this is how God equips us. Making it out to church in the snowstorm, that's how God equips us. Getting in the Word when you're tired, that's how God equips us. worshiping him when you're worn out, when you're carrying a heavy burden. What does the Bible say? Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These are all ways to be equipped. So, he will never leave us without being equipped for battle. Back to Joshua, our main text. Joshua. What did he say? He said that they traveled for 40 years. They traveled for 40 years. Why? Because they didn't listen and obey the voice of the Lord. How did they not obey? They complained. All during the wilderness experience, they complained. They were tired of God's provisions. Again? We're eating this stuff again? We're sick of manna. Did you ever have fresh Italian bread out of the oven? With that hard, crusty outer? You smell it? And then you crack it, and the crumbs, and then the inside is that soft, fluffy. You ever have that? Oh, amazing. And then you dip it in what? In coffee. Oh, you must have grew up in Italy. That's what they did every morning with coffee. Dip it in the... I believe that when God provided the manna from heaven, I believe it was even better than that crusty, heavenly aromed Italian bread. I believe it was even better. And I believe there were olive trees where they got olive oil and they were able to dip it in the olive. I don't know, but I believe that God knew what he was doing. And I believe that he provided everything. Now, you're getting bread from a bakery that knows how to bake. They're getting bread from God Almighty, the heavenly bakery, the one who created it all. I can't imagine what that must have tasted like. I agree. I cannot imagine what that tasted like. But what did they do? Again? I'm tired of this. Instead of realizing this came from heaven, this is a miracle. We wake up in the morning and here's all our food. They couldn't even hoard it and save it for the next day because God had them freshly provided for every single day. But what did they do? They complained. They complained about the water. They complained. They said to the nerve to say to Moses, "We were better off in Egypt. Where you are right now, you might be going through a struggle. It might be difficult and you might be ready to quit. You might be questioning, Lord, it was better off before I turned my life over to you. As far as I'm concerned, after I accepted the Lord, everything got worse. You want to know why it got worse? Because all of a sudden the dirt started kicking up. Our marital problems started to arise. He didn't want me going to church. It wasn't the church we grew up in. All of a sudden, I realized, oh, you're not supposed to drink. You can't do that. You're not supposed to drink alcohol. They started to arise, and then there was a spiritual battle. I could have given up back then, but I followed the one that I knelt and prayed to, and it wasn't easy. But now... Now I could tell you I've been through the wilderness, and he may have to take me through again. I don't know. Or some more. It's not going to be roses always, 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 because there's an adversary, the devil, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. It's not always going to be a rainbow life. But we have to know that if we're going to trust him, we're going to come out of this with victory, because here we are today. Victory. But 40-something years ago, if I would have said, no, this is too hard. It was a spiritual battle, many spiritual battles. But the only way to make it through it is to trust him in the spiritual battle. Negative, negative, negative. That's all they were. They were negative, negative, negative. They complained, they mumbled, they grumbled. Why did every single one of them perish and not one went to the promised land where the Lord said he was leading them? Because they were negative. They mumbled, they grumbled, and they complained. They were ungrateful for what the Lord was doing for them. This is for us. See what's around you, not what you want. This is kind of a challenge for every one of us starting right now. Today, sit down all by yourself and take a look at your life. You can see all your mistakes. You can see all the negativity. I don't want you to see that. I want you to see what the Lord has done. I want you to see how he has blessed you. Not what you want. Because we'll always want something else. I want you to see what you have. To see what he's doing, not what you wish he was doing. See what he is doing now in your life. Not what you wish he was doing. Look at the glass half full, not half empty. Too often we look at it and say, oh, I need this much more. No. Praise God for what you have. Instead of seeing the glass half empty, see it half full. Recognize God's provisions. God provided for them for the whole 40 years. Any mother in here knows that your kids' feet grow every 3 minutes. I mean, we're always putting money out for shoes because their feet, I don't know where it goes. 40 years, their sandals didn't even wear out. What did they grow with their feet? Recognize God's provisions. He provided the whole time in the wilderness. Recognize God's protection. The Lord protected them the whole time. He was with them and protected them the whole time. Recognize God's plan along the way. Recognize the fact that if you're doing what the Lord told you to do, then he's got a plan. You don't want to delay your blessing. This is a big one. You don't want to delay your blessing because of a lack of trust, because of complaining, because of disobedience, because of impatience. You don't want to delay your blessing. God's a God of mercy. He's going to bless us, but our blessing could be delayed. We have to learn what he wants us to learn through it. God will never lead you where you cannot follow. Think about that. If he's leading, why can't we follow? If we can't follow him, who can we follow? God will never lead you where you can't follow. The problem is, if we're following God and all of a sudden we take our eyes off of God, that's what happens. We stopped following him and we started following our feelings. We started following the darts that the enemy put through in our path. You know, those boulders that are all those things, those stumbling blocks along the way, they're put there by the devil. God is going to lead you. Keep your eyes on him. I read this one time. Keep both one foot in front of the other and both eyes on God. If we're doing that, he's not going to lead us where there's boulders, where there's all those stumbling blocks. He may lead you to the Red Sea, but that's how you, so you could see how miraculous is. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You're a way maker. You're a miracle worker. You're a promise keeper. He's amazing. And if he promised something, he's going to keep it. He's going to make the way. We just have to trust him. When we stop trusting him, he's still the way maker, but we're not trusting him to make the way. He's still the promise keeper, but we're not trusting him to keep the promise. We have to keep our eyes on him. You know what the title of this message is? Yes, Lord. That's it. We don't need to say another word. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's a difference. There's a difference. And we cannot follow, or we will not follow. We cannot follow, or we will not follow. There's a big difference there. There's a difference in being able to follow or being willing to follow. We're all able to follow. Why? He said that he equipped the people of Israel. He equipped them for what? For battle. He equipped us. He equipped us for battle. He knows there's an adversary. He knows that there's a devil that's trying to trip us up. God knows that. But he has already equipped us for the battle. So the question here is, are we able to follow? Well, he's already equipped us. So are we willing to follow? If we are not willing to follow, we're going to be just like it says in Joshua. We will never enter the promised land, the land of milk and honey. What does that mean? We'll never make it to heaven? Oh, the promised land, that's not heaven. But what's going to happen is we're going to forfeit our blessings. Because God may be trying to work something out in us through the process, and we're not allowing him to do it. We're able to, but we're not willing to. And I'm going to close with this scriptures. A scripture which we all know. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of it. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The King James says, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I need two people. My little brother right there. Could you help me? Would you help me? Do something for me, please. Come here. I want you to use that energy you have. Thank you, baby. Here. Could you give everyone one of those, please? Thank you. This is a paper that says two powerful words. Yes, Lord. Put it on your refrigerator. Make copies. Put it in your car, on your bathroom mirror, whatever you want to put it. But I want you to look at this. And I want you to say and begin a practice. Because I'm telling you, you make the commitment today to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. What you're saying is, even though you're going to lead me in through the wilderness, even though you may lead me up into an impossible situation, I will still say, yes, Lord, until you tell me to go back. Did you hear what I just said? What did I just say? Yes. No. I will follow you until you tell me to what? Is he going to tell you to go back? Okay, absolutely not. He's not going to tell you to go back. So let's put this in another perspective. Why would God do all of these things along the way if he wasn't working on what? Us. He's working on you and I as an individual to help us to live a victorious life in him. If we decide, I'm not going to follow you anymore, I'm not going to continue on this journey, then we are forfeiting the blessing of the victory that God wants to make in us and through us. Because we're all called to be missionaries. Every one of us are called to be missionaries. We're called to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. How? You don't need to be an ordained missionary, minister. All you need to do is share the love of Christ. How could you share the love of Christ blowing smoke in somebody's face? Or if you're drunk, or if you're cursing, how could you share the love of Christ? If you're grumbling and mumbling and you're grouchy, how could you share the love of Christ? If you're so wrapped up into what you're going through, how could you share the love of Christ? How could you have compassion on that one when you're always wanting the compassion? How are we sharing the love of Christ? God has called us all to be missionaries. That is the call upon our life. Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to preach the gospel. How? Not here. By the way we walk. Our life. When we walk in a room, do people all of a sudden disperse? They want to go someplace else? Or are people like, praise God? You know, I came out of pastor's office before, and there were three men in the foyer, pastor and two other gentlemen standing in the foyer. When I opened the door, one of the men went like this. I mean, the biggest smile when he saw me, and I was like, when I started walking downstairs to go where I need, thank you. Did you get one? Okay, here's one for your room. Could you read? I'll tell you, what's that say? You're almost there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Who's the Lord? Yes. See, even he knows. Did you get it today? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ultimately, his main concern is us. His main concern, you're a parent, your main concern is your child. And I said this to someone recently. God would never lead you somewhere because he knew you were going to fail. And he would never leave you somewhere and leave you, or bring you somewhere and leave you. You surrendered your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then he's with you. He hasn't left you. The Bible says he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. So you're not alone. You might be in a battle. Who is this King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? The King of Glory, that's our Lord God. Who is he? Mighty in battle. So we have surrendered our life to the King of Glory. He's mighty in our battle. We aren't the mighty one because we may be mighty in the physical. We read it in the Word of God. Even the men of war perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. We may be mighty men. We may be mighty women. But we're not fighting in the physical. We're fighting in the spiritual. And I'm going to tell you another thing. The Lord directs us to do something for a reason. And ultimately, we are the main reason. You're a parent? Would you not give your life for your child? Who in this world is more important to you than your flesh and blood? Seriously. There's no one more important to us than our flesh and blood. To the Lord, no one's more important than you and I. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you and for myself. So you don't think that whatever we're going through, it isn't because God is doing a work in us. So let me ask you something. If you're getting ready to get your driver's license, but you fail the test, what's going to happen? You're going to get the license? So you're not going to have the privilege to drive. So what are you going to do? You stay like that and walk for the rest of your life? Depend on everybody else? Or... Yep, you're exactly right. You have to take the test again. God doesn't want us to keep doing that. He wants to work in us. He wants to make something great out of us. And all we have to say is, yes, Lord. That's all we have to say. Yes, Lord. Let's pray.